From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. The hot, relatively new technology in fertility medicine is egg freezing. Not embryo freezing, but egg freezing. Fertility doctors are saying this week it's no longer experimental, that they're past that with the art of harvesting a woman's eggs and freezing them for the future. There are still questions about risk to the child and mother-to-be, but it's already clear a lot of women are pinning their hopes on egg freezing as a hedge against ill health or bad luck in love or the demands of a career, looking at freezing eggs as a way of extending their window of reproduction. This hour on Point, women hedging their bets and freezing their eggs. You can join the conversation. What are the options being opened up here with egg freezing? Women, have you done it? Are you thinking about it? What's the appeal? What's your question? You can comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Joining me first today from Washington is Dr. Samantha Pfeiffer. She's professor of obstetrics and gynecology at the University of Pennsylvania School of Medicine, and she chairs the Guidelines Committee of the American Society for Reproductive Medicine, which has just issued new guidelines on egg freezing. Dr. Pfeiffer, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you very much for having me on the show.
So what have you said in your announcement of new guidelines this week?
Well, it's very exciting. We looked at all of the available literature on this topic that's been published in the last several years, and in reviewing this, have really realized that this process of egg freezing is no longer experimental. There is a lot of data looking at the success with thawing these eggs, mostly by a newer technique called vitrification, which shows that in young women, the success of freezing and then thawing these eggs gives the same pregnancy rate as using fresh eggs in young women who are less than 30 years of age.
How do you define young women? Less than 30, is that it?
In most of the studies, we usually, in reproductive terms, young is less than 35 because fertility rates decline or start to decline at age 35. In the data that was used to formulate this guideline, most of the information was obtained in women who were under the age of 30. And what the studies have shown is that the success rate for freezing and thawing the eggs was about 90%, which is significantly higher than what it had been with older techniques. The other thing that
May I ask, Doctor, when you say success rate, you mean successfully freezing, thawing, and then implanting and fertilizing these eggs and all the way to the birth of a child. Is that what that means?
Correct. The studies looked at pregnancy rates. So taking eggs out and comparing those that were frozen versus those that were not frozen, and then the frozen ones were thawed, fertilized, and then implanted in the uterus, and comparing the pregnancy rates. And the pregnancy rates with those eggs that were frozen and thawed were comparable to those that were not frozen and just fertilized and implanted.
So you're giving a green light to clinics around the country to go ahead and do this, not on an experimental basis, but with this degree of confidence that this is working.
Well, I think the technique is valid. However, the application of the technique is really where the issues lie, because the data we have looking at this technique is in a very select population of young women. And so in young women, when you take the eggs out, freeze them, fertilize them, the success rates are good. However, we don't have a lot of information in older women. And we don't have a lot of information available in patients such as cancer patients who are facing chemotherapy, because they may have different underlying issues. We also don't have a lot of information in infertility patients, because most of the information we have is in donor egg population, which are young women that do not have fertility issues that we know of. So I think that the information that allowed us to declare this is no longer considered experimental was looking at a very select population of young women that don't necessarily have a fertility issue.
So there's a caution right there, and we'll bear that in mind. Let's walk through these groups that you just outlined. Cancer patients, if they're facing chemo, this is of particular interest to them because they may lose their fertility in that fight against cancer. But if you've successfully frozen the egg, they could still reproduce on the other side of that treatment. Is that right?
That is absolutely correct for some cancers. There's some cancers where this would not necessarily be an ideal option, especially in those patients who may have, you know, leukemias or things like that, where you really have to start treatment immediately. But for those patients that may have time to go through the process of harvesting the eggs, this certainly is an option, which will, you know, may give an opportunity for having a biologic child later.
Which is great for them. And then we come to the fertility treatment population here. Now, how does egg freezing come into fertility treatment? I'm just not that familiar with it.
Well, it's particularly useful for couples who have, on the day of an egg retrieval, there is inability to procure sperm, either by collection or by surgical retrieval.
Mm-hmm.
And rather than, at this point, if you don't have sperm, you have to be really, up to this point, could not use the eggs.
You'd lose it. It would go. Yeah.
So this way, we can take those eggs and freeze them, mm-hmm. and then allow for the procurement of sperm at a later date.
Okay.
So this is can rescue that cycle, which previously hadn't been. Other indications are for couples who may feel uncomfortable freezing embryos. Say they have many, many eggs, and then say, for example, 25 eggs, and then the possibility, if you fertilize all of those eggs, you could end up with 18 or 20 embryos. And many couples don't feel comfortable freezing that many embryos because they may not use those in the future, depending on the success of their treatment.
Right.
So this gives an option for couples who may feel comfortable freezing eggs but not embryos to allow for future use of those eggs if they are not successful with their attempts, or if they have completed their childbearing, they don't have frozen embryos left in the freezer.
And then we come to that population of women, and here's where age may be very important in what you found, who simply may be listening to their biological clock, may be aging toward 35 or beyond it, not in a position to reproduce yet for whatever reason. We'll talk about that. And look at freezing their eggs as a way of what? Stretching that window out into the future, allowing them to reproduce even if their egg production or the quality of their eggs is declining because of age. How does this apply to them?
Well, I think that a note of caution is important at this point, too. Potentially, women could freeze their eggs at age 30 or 40 for later use. However, we do not have a lot of data looking at the success of this procedure. Again, when we say this technique is successful in younger women, that may not apply to women who are older. And I think that everyone's window of reproduction is variable. And certainly in a woman who is in her late 30s, early 40s, she may not have as much of a success if she goes ahead and frees her eggs. And this is important to what we counsel these women, that what is their success if they do this? They may go through this whole process and not have any eggs to freeze. And I think women need to be aware of that, that the success rate really is dependent upon age. And it's important if a woman is considering embarking on this, she is not guaranteed, a 90% success rate and excellent fertilization. You know, clearly in women who are in their late 30s, early 40s, the eggs are not as stable. They are. There's a higher percentage of eggs that are aneuploid, meaning having an abnormal number of chromosomes.
Mm.
And this can translate to a higher miscarriage rate or non-viable embryos. So in a woman who is in her early 40s, she may go through the process and she may have no eggs available to freeze. Or if she has eggs available to freeze, they may not survive at the same rate. And
yeah.
Her chance of having a viable pregnancy may not, certainly not as good as a woman who's younger.
And yet, as women work more, marry later, this is a big population of interest. I mean, I'm sure you and those in your industry are very aware of that. We've got a caller with a question for you from Los Angeles, California, if I may, Dr. Pfeiffer. Rachel is on the line. Hi, Rachel. You're on with Dr. Samantha Pfeiffer.
Yes. Hi, Tom.
Hi,
Dr. Pfeiffer. Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I actually had my eggs frozen in 2005.
Okay. How old were you, Rachel, when you did that?
I was 36.
Okay.
Yes, and the reason I did it was I was not in a relationship, and I was aware that my FSH level was changing. And so to hedge my bets, I went ahead and had the eggs frozen. And I have not, I've since had a child, I have not used those eggs, but I have no regret for having done it because as a woman, it just completely relaxed me, you know, with regard to worrying about the ticking clock.
Which, yeah.
You know,
we're up against a break, Rachel. I apologize, but we're up against a break here. Do you have a specific question for Dr. Pfeiffer?
Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. My question to the doctor is, to what degree does the success rate depend on the method of freezing versus the method of thawing? When it was done for me in 2005, you know, the method of freezing, it was still quite experimental, and I'm sure that advances have been made. So I worry about my own eggs and whether or not, even with advances in thawing, whether or not they might still be viable. So she could speak to
yes.
those two elements.
We will. Dr. Pfeiffer, please.
I think certainly there's two methods for freezing eggs. One is called slow freeze, and the other is vitrification, which employs a rapid freeze technique. And traditionally, slow freeze has been the method that was used. And the problem with freezing eggs is they have a very high water content, so ice crystals can form within the egg, which can disrupt the mitotic spindle or the support system for chromosomes. So the vitrification is a lot more successful these days, as is slow freeze. But I think that that's one of the things that allowed us to say this is no longer experimental, because the freezing techniques and the success with thawing has become so much better over the last couple years.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about women freezing their eggs as a hedge against future infertility and when and whether that's a good idea. New guidelines say it's not experimental anymore, but there are still buts hanging out there. Dr. Samantha Pfeiffer is with us this hour. She's chair of the Guidelines Committee of the American Society for Reproductive Medicine, professor of obstetrics and gynecology at the University of Pennsylvania School of Medicine. She's been right in the thick of this. Lots of response online, Dr. Pfeiffer. Here's one Lavender writes to us. She says, I was just recently diagnosed with cancer just this past week, and my husband and I are looking into this option, freezing eggs, because the medication I will be on will prohibit my ability to have children in the future. We're glad to have this option available, as we're both young and don't have any children yet. We're also going to consider adoption, she writes, but we're grateful that we don't have to permanently shut the door on our chance to have our own biological child due to this unforgiving disease. That seems like your first target at this point, Dr. Pfeiffer.
Yes, I think clearly in the patients who are facing chemotherapy or radiation therapy where the ovaries may no longer function after the treatment, it is a blessing to be able to retrieve the eggs and freeze them. So I think that because there really are very few alternatives to allow for having future biologic children. So this is really, I think, the main application for this technology that can really reverse someone's life in a very positive way.
Well, I mean, you call it the main application, but there are, I would think, many more women at this point who may be thinking about it in terms of, you know, life stage or whether they've got a partner or not. We'll come to that. I don't want to leave Rachel's question about thawing hanging there from Los Angeles. You mentioned two kinds of freezing, and vitrification, I guess, is the one that is the advance here. What about on the thawing end? Does it matter how?
Really, the thawing is not the issue. It's the mm-hmm. freezing. The thawing, you want to see what the survival of the eggs are like, but if you freeze them well, they should thaw well. So if the freezing technique... as the freezing techniques have become better, we have better thaw success rates.
Let's go to Maria in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Maria, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I went through the vitrification process last year at the age of 35 at the Jones Institute, which is part of Eastern Virginia Medical School.
Okay.
And I did it for exactly the reasons that Rachel said. You know, life stage, I was single, was looking to become a single mom,
yeah.
You know, so I didn't want to go through the fertilization process, but I wanted to head and give myself some more time. There are two points I wanted to add to the conversation for people who are thinking about this.
Mm-hmm.
The first is that it's really, really important to research the place that you decide to do the process with very carefully. I have friends that have gone through the process at other fertility clinics that had a very, very different experience than the one I had, that was much more stressful, much less organized, and also they were put through a whole battery of tests that I, you know, found out later were superfluous for them.
Okay, okay.
So I think it's important that you go with somebody who has a ton of experience doing this, and, you know, for me it was the Jones Institute, but other people have had
yep.
good experiences elsewhere. The second thing is that the egg freezing process, which does involve giving yourself injections, is pretty painless, all things considered. I think people think of in vitro fertilization as being a month-long ordeal, and it's very involved, but the egg retrieval process involves about 10 to 12 days of injections, self-administered, or
yep.
if you have somebody who wants to poke you, that's fine, but
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
it's really not that bad. And, you know, the retrieval process itself, painless.
Hey, Maria, may I just ask you, you did this at 35. How late in life would you consider going ahead with a pregnancy from these frozen eggs? 40, 45, 50? I mean, what's your, in your mind's eye, what's the window?
I suppose, you know, closer to 40, but it really depends on where I am at that age, you know, with my career, if I'm with somebody who I think is going to make a good dad.
Yeah.
I don't see myself taking the step to become a single mom, but I know that there are people out there who want that. So, you know, it's just a way to give myself more options. And that's really, you know, it could be that ultimately, you know, you all discuss the fact that the thawing process is the less difficult part than the freezing process, which is great news. But
I've got to go to Dr. Pfeiffer with your question here, but I appreciate very much your sharing your experience with us, and I wish you good luck with it. However you go, this is really interesting how this is opening up options, as you say, for women. And I thank you for your call, Maria. Dr. Pfeiffer, what about this issue of, I mean, there are a lot of clinics offering this now, and Maria's personal experience is that you've got very different qualities. Now your group is kind of an industry representative group, I guess. So can you speak frankly to this? What about the range in quality of care and execution here?
Well, I think it's there's many centers across the country that perform IVF. Certainly not all of these centers are currently freezing eggs. And I think, you know, that's one of the concerns that certainly we are stressed to patients, is you really need to do your research. And the center who is potentially freezing your eggs, what is their track record? Have they done it before? Is this a new procedure for them? And what are their success rates? And I think that's one of the things we stress in counseling someone who may consider going through with this. You know, what are the success rates at that center? What has their success been with freezing and thawing? Have they had good success? Have they done with this with a number of patients? And it's all really in helping a woman come to the decision to pursue this, you know, for future fertility, really knowing everything about the process in that individual clinic. And I think your caller also touched upon the process of going through this.
Mm-hmm.
It is basically going through an in vitro fertilization cycle, and I think the experience can be variable, and certainly you know, knowing about what is involved ahead of time really helps to help that individual patient come to a decision about whether she wants to proceed with this.
With more women working more and marrying later, women are really paying attention to this. We'll talk with another in Colorado in just a moment who's done it. Here's Maria Menounos. This is the TV personality, co-host of the syndicated entertainment show Extra. She's 38 years old. She was invited onto ABC's Good Morning America just a few weeks ago to explain why she had chosen to freeze her own eggs.
To me, parenting is the most difficult job in the entire world. And when I do it, I want to be committed and I want to be 100% ready to take it on and to be the best mom I can be. Right now, I don't find myself to be in that position. I barely see my dogs. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a, you know,
sure.
a real struggle with time. And I wish I could say I could be super mom and I could do it all. And there are women who do it and do it so
mm-hmm.
well. I don't think right now is the time for me, and that's my choice.
Maria Menounos, 38 years old, barely time to see her dogs. She's freezing her eggs to keep open that possibility of reproducing, of children later. With us right now from Telluride, Colorado, is Jennifer Hayes. She froze her eggs at the Colorado Center for Reproductive Medicine in 2010 when she was 35 years old. She now writes about egg freezing on her blog, retrievefreezerelax.com. She's a restaurateur in Telluride. Jennifer, thank you so much for being with us today.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Why did you do it in your case, Jennifer?
Well, listening to your last caller, Maria, it's a very similar story. When I was 34, I had several friends that were struggling with their own fertility, going through IVF, and one friend in particular that was seeing Dr. Schoolcraft at the Colorado Center for Reproductive Medicine, she was reading a pamphlet, literally, in their lobby, and she passed it along to me because she knew that my situation was such that I was in the middle of a, I had three restaurants at the time. Mm-hmm. I was driving all across the state. I definitely did not have time for a relationship, and I was 34 at the time. So she passed the information along to me, and I started doing my own research. And just as your caller Maria touched upon, I ended up spending almost a whole year really reading about it and researching and preparing myself. And finally, I pulled the trigger, so to speak, and got in touch with the clinic and froze my eggs 1 week after my 35th birthday.
So if I don't know what's too personal to ask in these days, but how many eggs did you freeze, may I ask? Or?
Well, they obviously I've, I'm kind of an open book. I have a website devoting for all this information. Mm-hmm. But they pulled 19 eggs out, but they ended up freezing 16. So what happens is after they pull the eggs out, they have a doctor look at the eggs under the microscope and determine which eggs are the highest quality and the best to freeze. So they froze 16.
Okay. And in your mind's eye, Jennifer, when and how might you use these?
Well, as Maria just mentioned, you know, people ask me all the time, when would you use them on your own? The point of me freezing my eggs was to give myself some time. I mean, I never actually said the words, I'm putting my career first. My life just happened that way.
Yep.
I never made a conscious effort.
You and many others, yeah.
Yeah, and so that's the difference. And I get a little frustrated when people criticize women saying, you know, that women are not putting their priorities in the right places and they're putting their career first. I never actually said that. It just, my life just happened. All of a sudden, I was 35 and realized that I needed to make some decisions in order to ensure certain things happened in my life.
But when do you think you might thaw them and, I don't know, you know, and bring on a pregnancy? Are you waiting for more leisure? Are you waiting for the right partner, the right guy, the right income, the right house? I don't know.
Well, there's a lot of those. I definitely would say the number one thing is the right partner. I have such utmost respect for single women that raise children on their own. I would prefer to try to do this with a partner. So finding the right partner is the number one thing. If I get to a certain point in my life, I would say, maybe 42, 43, a little later into my 40s, and I haven't found that right partner, and I'm in a financially stable position, I would say I'd be willing to do it. But again, I don't want to bring a child into the world without ensuring that my life is stable and that I could provide a really a good environment for that child.
But I guess you're also hedging here. Even with a partner, you could be past fertility. So it could be that you and your partner would use these frozen eggs to reproduce.
Correct. And the thing is that, you know, up until this week, as your show has been mentioning, the number one biggest criticism has been that it's been experimental and that there aren't enough results or research and results. And my response to that is that even if it doesn't work, let's just say I use these eggs or you thaw the eggs and I try to use them and it does not work. It does not result in a viable pregnancy. The one thing that I know is that I will have no regrets. I will have no regrets saying I wish that I had done this because the number of women that I speak with that are 40 plus that say to me, I wish I had done this when I was 35 or 37, it breaks my heart because, you know, at least I know that I won't have those regrets and I will find another way to create a family.
Jennifer, please stand by there in Telluride, Colorado. Dr. Pfeiffer, now, as I understand your new guidelines and recommendations this week, you really were not looking at women who were just, who I shouldn't say just, it's a big deal, but who were looking at to do this to save fertility for a time that was more convenient. You weren't really sanctioning that as part of your relaxed guidelines, were you, Dr. Pfeiffer?
Well, I think we have to recognize that these guidelines are guidelines, and so as such, they are based on the available data in the literature. So it's a data-driven document. There are no data looking at women in their later years who are freezing these for future pregnancy. So I think that the thrust of the document was to look at the safety of egg freezing. And I think we really have shown that with this good data that's come out over the past years, it is a safe technology.
For younger women,
No, it's safe technology overall. Its application, when you look at success rates, we can only address that in younger women. So I think as things go on, we will find more and more information that will help us figure out what the success rate is in older women and how likely are these women to use these eggs, what is the likelihood of having a live birth, how many should you freeze. These are questions that are out there and I think are really important questions if we are here to help women have families in the future. But at this point in time, there are very little data addressing that question, so that is why the document does not specifically recommend or make a comment about that. Just to say proceeding with caution is important and making sure that women know their options, they are aware of the risks and benefits, and all these things, the cost of it is incredible, is very expensive.
What is it, $10,000, $12,000, something like that?
It can be up to $22,000 for an IVF cycle, and then you have to, every time per year for storage of these eggs, could be $500 to $1,000 to store them.
So it's very significant. We have a listener with this question, Dr. Pfeiffer. Well, we've got Jennifer here. She says, if this technology allows women to have children at a much older age, can an older woman's body take the stress of childbirth? And more importantly, would an older woman want to go through the trouble, our listener writes? What do you say, Dr. Pfeiffer?
Well, I think that's a very, very good question. Certainly we know that the risks of pregnancy to the mother and the baby increase as the mother's age increases. So in a very healthy individual at age 45, there's a significant risk of developing preeclampsia and diabetes, of having, something happen to the baby that may affect the livelihood of the baby. So these things increase dramatically in women in their 40s. So, and in women that have health concerns such as obesity or high blood pressure already, these risks are dramatically higher. So I think we have to be cautionary about recommending women get pregnant and in their mid-40s or later because of the health risks to the mom and the baby. And again, counseling is so important so the woman is aware of what her risks are in embarking upon this.
Jennifer, do you have a cutoff age in mind after which, you know, whether or not the eggs are available, you just think, I don't want to be 45 or 47 or 52 when I might do this?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with Dr. Pfeiffer. I'm a very healthy person, and so I anticipate, you know, when I'm 42 or 43 that my health will be okay to have a pregnancy. But again, I think it just depends on your situation at that moment. I don't want to be 50 and pregnant. I know that. I just don't. But I think in my early 40s, I think it's fair to say that if I'm healthy and my doctors feel that I'm perfectly capable of handling a pregnancy, that I'd like to pursue it.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about women freezing their eggs as a hedge against future infertility and when and whether that might be a good idea. New guidelines say it's not experimental anymore, but it's not without risk, and there remain some unknowns here. Dr. Samantha Pfeiffer is with us. She's chair of the Guidelines Committee for the American Society for Reproductive Medicine, which has just come out with new guidelines in this past week. Jennifer Hayes is with us as well from Telluride, Colorado, a restaurateur there who froze her eggs when she was 35 years old to give herself options down the road. She writes about egg freezing on her blog, retrievefreezerelax.com. Elizabeth is calling from Brooklyn, New York. Elizabeth, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. What's your story?
My story is that I'm 42 years old, and I just froze my eggs at the NYU Fertility Clinic this past summer. And I am an Orthodox Jewish woman,
okay.
And I am still single. And as opposed to the other callers, I have to say that I represent thousands of Orthodox Jewish women who are still single. We've been trying to get married for a very long time, and we have not chosen to be here. So our rush, and there is a big rush in my community, to freeze our eggs is not done because we're pushing off childbirth for convenience, but because we are really desperately trying to ensure that we will become mothers. So there is a big rush in the community to do it. We have all of the approvals of the rabbis, et cetera.
Yeah.
We have a lot of communal support, and we're just all trying to afford the procedure, which is quite expensive.
Is there a marriage problem in the Orthodox community? Are not enough men, or just it's just turning out this way for some women, Elizabeth?
There's definitely a marriage problem. I definitely think there aren't enough men.
Okay.
Maybe there aren't enough good men. But, you know, all of my friends and myself included, we have great careers. I'm an architect.
Okay.
I work in Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
We're very successful and accomplished women. But frankly, we would drop it all in a minute to be married, to have families. And frankly, we don't care about what age we will be when we become mothers, because that's such a number one priority for us.
But you're 42 already and having this time. I mean, how old would you be willing to, you know, dive into reproduction at? How late would you go, Elizabeth?
I would go 47, 48. I know women who've had babies at the age of 50. In Israel, where that's a country full of Jewish women wanting to have babies and families, their IVF centers are implanting embryos into women up to age 52.
So, wow.
This is how important motherhood and family building is to our community.
Elizabeth, thank you very much for that sort of heads up from your quarter there. Dr. Pfeiffer, speak to this. 42 and freezing the eggs, willing to go to 49, maybe later, talking about 50, 52. What are you thinking as you hear this?
Well, I think that your caller brings up a very good point. This is a predicament that many women are facing. And I think that, you know, this is potentially one of the applications for egg freezing. I think that not many women at age 42 will be able to have any eggs to freeze, and that is the issue that we really need to address, is how many women will be able to do this, and is this an option for women at this age? And I think that for some, it may be, for some, it may not be. And that's really where we need to get more information on the likelihood of retrieving eggs and the success in freezing them and thawing them. And will that really, what is the likelihood that will result in a live birth? So that is where we really need to collect more data and get more information so we can help guide women in this decision process to really, you know, to help them.
Elizabeth, we wish you good luck. Krista in Williamsburg, Virginia. Krista, thanks for calling. You're on.
Hi, Tom. How are you today?
Very well. What's your question, Krista?
Yes. I actually had a question for Dr. Pfeiffer. I already have a child, and I don't have any fertility issues. However, my child does have a genetic condition for which, if me and my husband wanted to have another child, we would do gene therapy and basically pick an egg, you know, and a sperm that would not make this condition.
Okay.
I'm just wondering if freezing and thawing of eggs is a viable option if you want to do gene therapy.
Let us pick it up and be safe there, Krista. Dr. Pfeiffer, what about it?
I'm confused about gene therapy for screening a child who does not have the disorder your child has, or for helping your child subsequently.
It sounds as though if they have another child, they want to screen, you know, at the time of fertilization, I guess, or in advance to guard against repeating that.
Well, you know, certainly we have the technology to do this with fresh eggs. It's called pregenetic pre-implantation genetic screening, and that is a process where you can screen the embryo for a specific condition. It's sort of the freezing of the eggs really does not come into play with that necessarily. I think that can be done with embryos, and we're very successful at freezing and thawing embryos, and those tests can be done, but they really can't be done to the eggs per se. The testing is something that is done with the embryos, and then the embryos that do not contain the genetic condition can be frozen.
Jennifer, let me ask you, we've got Melanie writing us here online. I mean, everybody has a different circumstance, but some people don't have a partner, and they want that before they move forward. You had a lot of restaurants on your hands at the time when you went in this direction. Melanie says, thinking about professional women here, I guess, or women very involved in work, she writes to us, she says, instead of manipulating biology to fit society, why don't we try the other way? Make it easier for professional women to have children during our natural childbearing years. What do you say to that, Jennifer?
Well, that applies to a lot of women, but in the case of me, it does not apply because when you're a small business owner, there's no such thing as maternity leave. There's no such thing as creating an environment that is more willing to accept the motherhood role in the working environment. For me, you know, having three restaurants, working 18 hours a day, that was my choice,
yeah.
And I fully admit that. But when the ball starts rolling on your career in that way, it just happened, you know, and all of a sudden I was 34, and so I understand what that
Melanie's asking here.
Yeah, what mm-hmm. Melanie is asking. But is that really the problem? I don't necessarily think that's the problem. I think it's more the case of women either not finding the right partner or, you know, their life just presented it in such a way that all of a sudden they were at an age where they realized their fertility window was closing.
Everybody's got a different circumstance, but we understand Melanie's question here, and of course it's a pressing one for many women who get into jobs and careers and off life goes. Dr. Pfeiffer, Jennifer Hayes, please stand by. Marcy Darnovsky joins us right now from Berkeley, California. She's Associate Executive Director of the Center for Genetics and Society. She's been listening and thinking about all this. Marcy Darnovsky, thank you very much for being with us today.
Glad to be here.
So here we go. New scientific capacity, new technical capacity, not without its limits and still some risks and still some unknowns. But you can see how life today for many women might push them in this direction. Let's just freeze some eggs as a backup plan, as a hedge. What do you think about that as somebody who looks at these big issues a lot, Marcy?
Well, I think that the conversation today is kind of an example of what my concerns are. We all want to expand options for women and help them have families when they want to. But we've been talking for 45, 50 minutes now. And we haven't mentioned yet that this technology may pose risks to the children that are born. We don't have good data on that, as the ASRM guideline says.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't mentioned yet the risks of egg extraction to women, which although many, many women have undergone egg extraction for IVF over the last decades,
mm-hmm.
we know there are short-term risks and we know there are long-term risks, but they are grossly understudied.
Mm-hmm.
And until just now, we haven't mentioned the wider social implications of what this would mean. And I'm also surprised at the kind of enthusiasm with which Dr. Pfeiffer is talking about it, because I read the guideline, and the guideline is very clear in saying that we don't have data on safety, we don't have data on efficacy for using this technology to defer childbearing. And so although the experimental label has been formally removed, I think it's really clear that egg freezing to defer childbearing is still an experiment. And you're experimenting on your own health if you do it, and you're experimenting on your child's health. And I think women really have to understand that if they're considering this.
I'm glad you raised those issues. I mean, we understand at the same time that there's desire and longing for reproduction, so there's pressure from that side. On the clinic side, there's people who want to help, and it is a business, so there's pressure from that side. We'll look at some of the issues you raised, but what about the social implication piece of this, Marcy Darnovsky? How do you see those implications?
Well, part of it comes from the fact that the fertility industry is a business, and, you know, it's kind of makes people a little uncomfortable to think about babies and business in the same breath. But there's actually a book written by a former Harvard Business School professor, now president of Barnard College, called The Baby Business. And the commercial dynamics really do come into play here. And, you know, even while the experimental label was in effect, hundreds of fertility clinics have been aggressively marketing this egg freezing technique.
And doing
for
it, yeah.
Deferring,
mm-hmm.
And doing it for deferring childbearing. And I have always wondered why the ASRM doesn't hold its own members to its own guidelines. And I was hoping that with issuing these new guidelines where they say, we're not considering this experimental for women who may lose their fertility because of chemotherapy and cancer treatment, that but in their statements saying we do not recommend this for deferring childbearing, that that would at least also make them step up and kind of hold the feet to the fire of those clinics who are marketing it openly and without adequate consideration of the risks for women to defer childbearing. But it doesn't sound like that's going to happen.
Dr. Pfeiffer, are you, if I may, Dr. Pfeiffer, are you opening a kind of land rush here without sufficient cautionary note?
Well, I think that Marcia brings up very good points. We are not a regulatory body. We do not regulate individuals. We make recommendations. The recommendations we have put forth are based on available data in the literature. And I think that in speaking to the fact this is no longer experimental, we're saying the technique on this preliminary data appears safe. And I think, you know, clearly the points are well made that we only have 1,000 babies. In those 1,000 babies, there don't appear to be an increased number of anomalies.
1,000 babies born from frozen eggs.
1,000 babies published in the literature that have been born. I don't know how many babies have been born from frozen eggs because people have been doing this and not reporting this. So the steps we're actually taking, SART is actually, now that the experimental label has been lifted, is actually reformulating their data collection and reporting system, so we will know in the future going forward, collecting more data on the safety, the success rates per clinic, and collecting more data on this, which I think is really instrumental as we learn more about this technology, what is the effect? And I think that we are concerned about the risk of birth defects. We're concerned about the effect on women. This is why we could not state that this is, we state in the guideline it's not recommended at this point in time, but that's based on lack of data. There are no data looking at this, so we couldn't really comment on the safety and efficacy in this older population.
But to the extent, Dr. Pfeiffer, that you are representing a lot of businesses out there that do pretty substantial business in this, do you feel that commercial pressure to meet the palpable desire and demand from women to see this as safe and do it?
Well, I think that's our biggest concern. I think that, you know, many clinics have not used this technique before. They may not have as much experience. If you look at the data we based our recommendations on, it's primarily from a very small number of very experienced clinics that have very good success rates. And as with any new technology moving forward, not everyone will be able to do this procedure with as good success rates. So I think that is clearly a concern, and I think the widespread application of this technology for preserving future fertility is a concern for our society because there's a lot of ramifications, and counseling women about the success rate is really going to be very critical, and we are concerned about encouraging, for example, younger women age 25 to donate their eggs, and that's a concern we have too, and that is something we clearly cannot advocate at all.
Except, you know, it's being picked up right there. I mean, Marcy Donofsky, here's a comment from a listener online, Crystal, and she writes to us, at the age of 28, I have many friends who are thinking of settling with the men they're currently with so they can have kids sooner than the chance of breaking up with them and becoming barren before they can meet another partner. It would be great if my fellow yuppies like me, like us, didn't have to rush this decision. You can hear in that, Marcy, that a population is sort of saying, oh, yeah, I'll just freeze my eggs and wait for, you know, the perfect partner.
Well, you know, it's not a risk-free solution. And if you listen carefully to what Dr. Pfeiffer was just saying, we don't have data. We don't even know how many babies have been born or what problems might have shown up. We haven't, you know, the risks of egg extraction, the studies say serious short-term risks. The studies range from 0.5% to 8%. Why a huge range? Because we don't have adequate data. And the absence of danger of evidence of risk doesn't mean there isn't any. And I think that we really need to think this through a lot more carefully rather than having the way that the ASRM is presenting it in the fine print. They tell you, I quote, marketing this technology for the purpose of deferring childbearing may give women false hope and encourage them to delay childbearing. We don't have data on efficacy, safety. But the way it's being presented and it is resulting in a flood of new marketing. It's resulting in media coverage that, frankly, sounds like infomercials rather than real serious consideration. And I think that the point that you and one of the people who emailed in before raised about what we could do as a society to address the problem that of our modern age where women are working and having careers, and this is something we want to encourage, but we have this delayed childbearing thing, we can put in place social policies so that women have more family-friendly workplaces, are not being pressured to delay childbearing. That's what we need to do, not risky technical fixes.
Well, we're glad to have had the opportunity to open a big window on this today, and grateful to each of you for your angle of insight on this. Marcy Darnovsky at the Center for Genetics and Society, joining us today from Berkeley, California. Marcy, thank you very much for being with us.
Glad to be here.
Dr. Samantha Pfeiffer with the American Society for Reproductive Medicine. Thank you, Dr. Pfeiffer.
Thank you very much for having me.
And Jennifer Hayes in Telluride, Colorado with RetrieveFreezeRelax.com. Jennifer, good luck and thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.